Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, June 15th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 162, the second paragraph that begins with "Someday we hope." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Martha M., who will be reading the 12 Steps, Terry S. will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Don B., K.P., and Brandy M. The share ID for yesterday, Sunday, June 14th, the special edition, is 14,806. This morning's Monday, June 15th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time share ID is 14,809. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mary B., and Don B. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Martha M. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Martha M. from Connecticut. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I want to thank you for your service, Kathleen, and the opportunity for me to do service. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Martha M. And Terry S., if you would read the 12 traditions, please.
Hi, this is Terry S. in Oregon, food addict. 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Terry S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the big books of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the big book. We're on page 162, the second paragraph that begins with someday we hope. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And Dawn B., if you could please get us started this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. Someday, we hope that every alcoholic who journeys will find a fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous at his destination. To some extent, this is already true. Some of us are salesmen and go about. Little clusters of twos and threes and fives of us have sprung up in other communities through contact with our two larger centers. Those of us who travel drop in as often as we can. This practice enables us to lend a hand, at the same time avoiding certain alluring distractions of the road about which any traveling man can inform you. And then there's a little asterisk there that says at the bottom of the page, this was written in 1939. And in 2009, there are over 116,773 groups. There is AA activity in more than 180 countries with an estimated membership of over 2 million. And as we know today, so many years later, there is just an explosion, a worldwide explosion of AA and OA and over 200 other different types of groups that use the 12-step program for different addictions, from codependence to just everything under the sun, gamblers, everything, to find recovery and help and hope. And what a beautiful miracle this is. And the original authors of this book say that someday they hope that every alcoholic who journeys will find a fellowship at their destination. And I have been made, since coming to Vision, I've been made aware of just the, with personal experience, the worldwide nature of Overeaters Anonymous. And then through the amazingness of Zoom and, phone meetings, to be able to travel virtually to all these different places and hear voices from Ireland, the UK, Greece, Scotland, Italy, Colombia, Argentina, Australia, Israel, Hawaii, Canada, most of the United States, Norway, Sweden, Germany, Austria. It is absolutely mind-blowing and such a tremendous gift. you know, the hopes of these original 100 writers, authors of this book are absolutely, I'm sure, looking down and just so overwhelmed and so grateful with the spread of this program. And how comforting it is to know that regardless of where we can travel, you know, that more often than not, we would find our people there. We would find fellowship. We would find an immediate group of friends. You know, I've traveled, moved to different places, and have found Overeaters Anonymous there. And it's just so comforting to know that our people are there. And through the amazingness of Zoom, we can actually go to those places and, you know, experience meetings there. We can see them, see their faces, and we can, like these original 100, we can drop in and lend a hand as often as we can. And I personally just hope that once the COVID-19 has passed, that we can maintain some of the Zoom connections from the meetings where we can, you know, travel and lend in and lend a hand and drop in to many places around the world. So anyway, I personally am so very, very grateful for this worldwide fellowship and feel so blessed. And thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Don B., for getting us started this morning. And again, we're on page 162, the second paragraph that begins with "Someday we hope." And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share who hasn't shared in the past 3 days? Long pause.
Terry S.
Terry S.
Barbara W.
Barbara W. And who came after Barbara?
Irene N.
Was it Arena N? Okay, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, who else?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Haley O.
Haley O.
Yes.
Joanne B.
Joanne B. Perfect. Perfect, Joanne. Okay. So I have Terry S., Barbara W., I think I heard Arena N., Deborah G., Haley O., and Joanne B. So go ahead, please, Terry S.
Hi, everybody. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon, recovered food addict. And, oh, that's weird. I'm getting feedback.
I'm hearing that, too. If everyone could mute their phone, maybe.
I was on my headset. Is this better?
That's a little better.
Okay. It is exciting to see how the 12-step program has grown. And I remember back in the early 90s, before cell phones, and actually before we all had personal computers, I took a trip to the South Pacific. I was in OA, and I contacted World Service, and I got a paper copy of the meetings in the areas of the countries I was going to be visiting. And I can remember my pen pal in New Zealand just opened her door and her heart, and I stayed with her for several days in her home. We created a meeting in her local area to meet with a newcomer, so we did some 12-step work. And then I was down in another part of New Zealand, and I just reached out on the phone, that payphone, and a member answered, and she ended up meeting me in a public place because there was no meeting that day, but she wanted to have some fellowship. And so we had a lovely meeting and some fellowship together. And then down in Australia, same thing. I would pick up a payphone, call a member that was on the list, and sometimes just talk with them on the phone. And I was traveling by myself, but I felt that incredible connection with people that understood my disease. They understood my recovery. It didn't matter that I was in a completely different country. It didn't matter that I was standing outside a convenience store on a payphone. There were people out there available, and what a blessing that was. So as I flash forward to today, I am facing a cardiac procedure tomorrow morning, which is scary, but also I know God's got me, and my peeps in my local area just, and on the phone, everybody has just stepped forward with prayers and you know, what can I do, and signing up to create abstinent meals for me afterward. And I feel so blessed and supported by this fellowship, and it's an incredible blessing that it's not just my what I call my normal friends, because you guys understand me, and we're tuned into, you know, the fears and the emotions and how that relates to our eating, and I'm staying abstinent through this because I have this incredible support group of fellows that are trudging this path with me. So I'm really, really grateful, and I know that God's got this, and with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry S. Okay, Barbara W., you're up next, followed by Irina N.
Did you say my name?
Are you Barbara?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I said your name.
I was
Go
on
ahead,
duty.
Barbara.
Yeah, I was on duty. Good morning, everyone. I'm Barbara W. from Olympia, Washington, Washington State. Oh, I had to jump in on this one. Back in 1977, I had two small boys at home, and I remember my first inkling that something wasn't right about my eating, and it doesn't matter what it was, but I just got that gut feeling that I didn't feel right about it. And I found myself, I don't know where I found it, whether it was a newspaper or a phone directory or what, but I called someone and I said, oh, well, come on. Yeah, there's a meeting. And I got there, was at someone's house, literally around the corner from where I lived. And we were the only two at the meeting. And I can remember, I can visualize on a table nearby, there she had laid out some OA literature. And, you know, what there was, the big book, you know, and there's a few brochures and stuff. And I remember her sincerity and her welcoming, and it didn't matter that it was just me, you know, little old me kind of thing. And I was touched by her friendliness and her, she wasn't trying to persuade me to anything. And when I left there, I just remember feeling so, supported, because someone else understood. Someone else knew that I had somehow gotten this awareness of my eating behavior. I think it was more my eating behaviors than anything else. But it was just two of us, and that's all it took for me to start. And I don't remember what happened after that. I do know I did start going to meetings maybe once a week. But I had never forgotten the first one where it didn't matter if it was just me and the welcoming and the I felt like I was being hugged and she didn't and no hugs were happening. That's the feeling I got. And my childhood home and my childhood home at the was not the best emotional environment, and I don't remember hugs ever being exchanged.
But I remember that that was the 50s. And I said, well, I'll excuse the 50s because that was everybody was that way. What was the other thing? I think I'm going to pass with that, but thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbara W. Okay, Irina N., you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning. This is Irina N., recovered compulsive overeater in Queens, New York. I'm listed as Irina N. in our directory. I was moved to share today because I'm in such awe of the depth and breadth of our fellowship. I 3 weeks ago, I remember hearing someone in another country call for outreach and say, this person only takes outreach calls in Greek. And it's funny because that is my native language. And I had 4 people call me as a result and say, this person is looking for outreach. And by the grace with the person asking for outreach for their fellow and connecting in a language that is no longer as comfortable, but being able to connect them with others and support. And I think it's so incredible that we can have this trust in higher power to connect us and be of service to each other and know that when we reach out for outreach, that we can have faith that it lands with the right people. I wake up untreated every morning, and I do the first 3 steps before I get out of bed. And there's something about the language and the tools of this program that's helpful. But the reason that that outreach call helped me is that there is an untranslated part of my brain that speaks a different language and has a different set of rules. And unless I'm applying those rules in all of my concepts, in all of my languages, there is something incomplete. And for those of you bilingual, I hope that that helps, that we sometimes need to translate this program in all of our behaviors and all of our conceptions. And so reach out to others in program, ask for help, and be of service. It is the greatest part of the recovery that we can give to ourselves and others. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Adimi N. Okay, Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Haley O.
Hello, good morning and afternoon to everyone. My name is Deborah, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you, Kathy, and everyone that has made this meeting possible this morning. And Terry, you're in my prayers, and everyone involved in your care in my prayers. And if there's anything I can do, please call. Now I will be checking on you. I love that. I love that we have that, you know, connection. I love visions, too, because, you know, it's nice not to just have my local meetings here that I can go to, but I can go on the OA Visions meetings, and there's people from all over the country, and now even all over the world. More people are coming on the U.S. meetings from all over the world, which is so cool to hear. And I don't know if anyone knows, I learned a couple years ago when I was on a cruise ship that in the itinerary it says those that are friends of Bill W., and any person can go there with an addiction for a support meeting. I thought that was so cool, you know, to have that open there on a ship. And then in all the meetings that they have all over the world. I remember even seeing one time in Colombia, in English, a big banner on a building for support. And I love that I'm not alone, you know, no matter where I go. And that's what I've been hearing with the shares, that I'm not alone. You know, I can call somebody anywhere, and they will be there for me, and they understand and care, and offer any love and support that's needed. And I'm excited. I just heard, I haven't got all the details, but I know AA had canceled their big international this year in Detroit but I just heard that they're going to have it on Zoom. So, and I think it's going to be like a week long or something. But it's going to be so cool because there's going to be more people on there now because of Zoom. So it's so exciting, all the things that are happening. And much love to everyone.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, Haley O., it is your turn, followed by Joanne B. Star one to unmute, Haley. Okay, maybe we lost Haley O. So Joanne B., you want to go ahead?
Hello, this is Joanne B. from Texas, recovered one day at a time. And one of the things that came to my mind listening to the reading and to the shares, I remember one time I was in Ghana, West Africa, and I was walking. It was sunset. It was hard to see, and I was tired from being there. We all go on a work trip, and I remember walking across this marshy area and just kind of sad. And all of a sudden, my phone rings, and I only kept my phone with me so I would have a time, you know, have the time. I did not know that my phone would connect to calls. And it was a fellow from OA, from our vision group. And she was calling, making her outreach call, checking on me as well. And it was just the most beautiful thing that higher power had put me in contact with someone to lift me up just at that moment. And, you know, this program is so cool. Yesterday, I'm in another fellowship as well, and I live in a very rural area, and under, because of COVID, we just don't have a lot of people coming to meeting. And yesterday, all of a sudden, you know, two visitors came in that were traveling. You know, they were traveling, and it was such a... just like a godsend. I mean, it was such a blessing that they looked up our meeting, you know, found our meeting time on the internet, and they came. And it's just amazing to me. I'm so grateful to have this program. It's teaching me sanity, not only with food, but in all of my thinking and in my affairs. I'm learning how to use the program, the steps and traditions, and in everything. And I'm just so grateful. And I just want to say to those who started our group, thank you so much. And to the one who encouraged me to come to this group, because I knew nothing about our fellowship, but I'm grateful that I got to come to this group first, because it gave me a different view or understanding of my disease before I found other groups. And so thank you so much, and to all of you who are serving today and who come in every day. And you mean a lot to me, and you keep me sane and sober, abstinent. Thank you. With that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. Now, do we have Haley O? Are you there, Haley? Okay, maybe she had to leave. So just a reminder, we're on page 162, the second paragraph that begins with "Someday we hope." We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And if you have not shared in the last 3 days, we would love to hear you share. So who would like to share on that paragraph?
Inga R.
I heard an R. I didn't get the first part of your name.
That's Inga. Inga R.
Inga. Okay, Inga. Thank you, Inga.
Ana Maria L.
Ana Maria M.
L, as in
Nancy. Okay.
This is Bailey O. I just had to dial back in to be able to unmute myself. I'd love to share.
Okay.
There's still space.
I thought you, there is. I was calling you Haley, but okay, Bailey. So I've got you. I've got you shared here in the lineup. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Terry D.
Patty T.
I think. Okay, Terry. T. Was
Terry
it?
D. No. It's Sherry D.
Sherry. What's the
B
first
is
initial?
In
Sherry.
B is
in David.
David.
And then did I also hear it, Terry?
Patty. No, and
oh,
Patty.
Patty
T. Yeah.
Patty T. Okay. I'm doing well this morning. I can take one more. We would love to hear your share.
Reggie O.
Reggie O. That's a familiar voice. Okay. So I have Inga R, Anna Maria N, Bailey O, Sherry D, Patty T, and Reggie O. So go ahead, Inga R, please.
Hi, this is Inga R, recovered compulsive overeater from Hanover, Germany. I hope you can hear me okay because I'm driving and it's raining, so I want to apologize for that, for the sound. And this paragraph really speaks to me. You know, I was just thinking about my journey in the 12-step program. I was really in the food, and I went to OA here in Hanover, and it was a really small group, but it was somehow it was attractive. And I found another 12-step program in the United States, and somehow somebody told me about A Vision for You, and I started dialing in. And what I heard on the line, it was so attractive that although I was still in the food, I had just had to listen to it every single day. And, well, one day I just managed somehow to put the food down. I got a sponsor. And I thought, you know, no matter what's going to happen, I think I will always come back to this program. I'm somehow hooked. And I just thought today that my life has changed so much, and I'm so grateful for the fellowship, for the program, for everybody. I really needed that. You know, I was thinking, I have a migraine, and in the past, I was always, when I had a migraine, I tried to... I tried to remedy it, and my remedy or my medicine was always the food. And I mean, that's crazy, you know. I have this headache, I feel sick, and I ate. I mean, other people, they just go to bed, take medicine, and they don't eat. And my solution was to eat. And now I see it's different. I could just get some rest yesterday, be somehow gentle with myself. And I don't feel the urge to eat. I'm just okay with it. Seeing that it's not too much that I won't die from the migraine. Well, that my higher power cares for me and that everything is okay. And So I just want to say thanks everybody. Thank you for all the voices and thanks for everybody who's doing service on the line. And I pass.
Thank you, Inga R. Okay, Anna Maria N., you're up next, followed by Bailey O.
Hello, everybody. I'm Anna Maria, a compulsive overeater calling from Norway, Oslo. I'm very nervous about sharing because this is not my language, and I think I would like to be short, but anyway. I'm very grateful for this meeting. I started to go to this meeting when the pandemic started. I'm a long timer in Norway, so I've been in Norway for many years. But anyway, it has going to these meetings and to listening to you has really given me even more it has gotten me more excited about the OA program because I'm very devoted to it. And when I came to OA, I was very desperate because I choose between ending my life or were going to OA because I was so desperate and I was so caught up in my overeating. So, but anyway, and that's where I am today. I work the program very, very sincerely, and I like the spiritual part very much, and that's very nice about these meetings because this is focused on the big book and the spiritual part, and that's the most important thing for me. So I would just like to express my gratitude, and I think it's wonderful that I can be here in Norway and to listen to all of you over there in different states in America, and that's very exciting for me. So thank you very much for service and for all the sharings. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Anna Maria N. Okay, Baleo, let's try this again. You'll be followed by Sherry D.
Hi, I'm Bailey O. I'm in Austin, Texas. I'm so glad to be on this meeting this morning, and hello to everybody out there around the world. Something that stood out to me at the very beginning of the paragraph, just how they say, you know, what they hope to see from the fellowship in the future, yet they come back to acknowledging that to some extent it's already true. And it just reminds me of what I need to do on a daily basis and what I get to do through the program, which is, you know, have this hopeful, earnestly hopeful vision for myself while not letting that be something that consumes me in an ego-based way, which has been just, you know, in my disease, that's all. I just fantasize whilst hiding and doing nothing and taking no action. And so I just love that. I have so many models of in this fellowship of people just showing up in earnest and very, very, very small but miraculously powerful ways every single day. I binged on life. I would just exert and exert and exert and then just hide. I haven't been in the fellowship that long, but I feel like I'm just so grateful that I get to learn how to live and show up, and nothing feels as good as just sharing my life with another fellow and getting to know other fellows intimately. It's what I always wanted, and I didn't know how to get it. And I can't believe, you know, I take it for granted, but I can't believe that there is a fellowship that gives me exactly that, because I couldn't have fathomed it myself. And now I get to, one day at a time, connect with all of you. Even if I'm not calling into a meeting, even if I am, you know, just sitting in my home, I get to have this peace of mind knowing that there's people all around the world just striving towards lending our hand to each other. And I'm so grateful for the strength that you all give me and that I get to extend to you guys as well. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Bailey O. That was perfect timing. Okay, Sherry D., you're up next, followed by Patty T.
Hi, I'm Sherry D. I'm a compulsive overeater. I am this paragraph also to jumped out at me because I know that when I came into OA, you know, probably about 3 years ago, I don't think I was desperate enough. I came into the rooms and I don't think I connected. But the second time that I moved towards the rooms, I was pretty desperate. And I remember going on vacation with my family, and we went to Hawaii. And it was the, you know, it's probably one of the most amazing, beautiful places that I could, you know, imagine. And I just remember being so miserable and beside myself and alone. And I reached out to somebody, and they said, you know, why don't you try to find an OA meeting and go in person? And I thought, oh, no, I can't do that. But she really encouraged me, and I looked it up, and I found one. And I can't even tell you, I really do believe that that was my first, you know, kind of door opening for me and this program, to just know that, wow, I am in Hawaii, and these, it was a very small meeting. It was just three of us, and they were so open to me. So, and then, you know, just hearing the different people on the lines coming from various places, like, who would have known that we could have this recovery in the times that we are now, you know, kind of in isolation, and that we can find each other, and that we can help each other through through this journey. So I really appreciated this reading, and thank you for sharing and all the comments. I'll pass.
And thank you, Bailey O. Okay, Sherry D., it is your turn, followed by Patty T.
Hi, this is Sherry D. Start. I just spoke.
Oh, sorry, Sherry. I'm so sorry. Thank you, Sherry. Okay, Patty T., you're up next, followed by Reggie O.
Hi, thank you. Hi, this is Patty T. I'm a compulsive eater, recovering one day at a time in Southern California. Thank you so much for your service, Kathleen. I think you're doing a great job. I couldn't do it. I can tell you that right now. You know, this paragraph reminded me of, and I please accept my ends. I'm walking my dogs at the moment. But I couldn't help but recall one of the first meetings I walked into, and I was met at the door by this fabulous older woman. Okay, I call her older now. I was 51. She was probably 65, 60-something. And she had this short, spiked hair, and it was platinum blonde, and she was made up to the nines. And, you know, I'm just not that kind of gal. But I love people that do that. I just love that put-together look. And anyway, she walked up to me, and she looked at me, because I'm sure she could tell by the shock and, angst on my face. Are you new? And I nodded, yes. And she said, oh, give me a hug. And that was it. She embraced me, as did everybody in the program, everybody in that meeting, everybody in every meeting that I went to in those early days. And I had come into those rooms thinking that nothing could help me. I had been in therapy over my eating for over 20 years and over my inability to connect with human beings. And nothing helped. I had done different religions, and nothing seemed to help. And I just didn't know how to live. I just didn't know how to do that. And but I saw these people who were so happy, like genuinely happy with who they were and accepting of who they were. And that has been my most difficult challenge in this practice and in this process, is accepting myself as I am, from my weight to my personality to the color of my eyes and the texture of my hair, all aspects. And so this lady, unbeknownst to me, had cancer, and she was in remission at the time, but it came back. And when it did, her chemo debilitated her to a degree that she couldn't come to our meetings. So because of the love and compassion in that meeting, several of us would take a meeting to her home once a week. And near the end of her chemotherapy, and she was starting to feel better, and she wanted out of the house, quite frankly, I showed up to the meeting, and it was just she and I, just the two of us. And we did our serenity prayer, we read our pieces, and then she said, okay, let's share. And I said, well, you go first. And she said, okay, well, I'm sick of being in here, and I'm ready to get out. So let's start having the meeting somewhere else. And I was like, okay, and then it was my turn. And I informed her that I didn't know how to have people in my home. I was afraid to have people in my home. And she said, oh, great. Then we're going to start having the meetings at your place. Because you know what? By the time you've gone 3 weeks with these meetings, you'll be so comfortable having people see who you are. You'll be okay. It's a very practical program of action. And that's what I find on this line. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty T. Okay, Reggie O., go ahead, please.
Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning, and thank you for your service this morning and everybody who's on the line. My name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered here in the Los Angeles area. But this boy, just reading, as so many do when we share them here, really excited me, and I might not have looked very closely at it before, you know, reading this together. But when this was written, I don't think that there was world travel or, you know, AA in other countries. It was just, you know, it was just in the U.S. as far as I know. But, you know, this really, I was so excited this morning listening to everybody share. You know, I've always, and I'm going to go to the traditions. You know, I've always loved the traditions. And ever since early on when I first knew they existed and read them, I thought, gosh, if every company, every organization, every political body would follow these traditions, we would have, you know, likely have world peace and everything else, you know, because the world is at war and we come in here and sometimes often being at war with ourselves. And we have found, you know, a common solution. It's like in one of the earlier chapters, we have a common peril and a common solution. And the common solution is, you know, a power greater than ourselves in the practice of the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. But the traditions make that work for us, right? Make it work for us, you know, in a small town before it grew, and make it work for us worldwide today. You know, it's like our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And, you know, I think that those three traditions continue to be the foundation for making the spiritual program of action that we take work. And I grew up in a really small town in the South, and there was so much sameness, you know. And I went to grad school, but when I was 23, and there were people from all over the world in that grad school. And if I hadn't gone there, I don't think I would have ever left where I thought I was going to continue living in my Cumberland County, North Carolina. And it just opened my mind, and I came north and lived in Boston for many years, and that's where I found OA, and it was one of the greatest gifts of my life. I first discovered that I had a problem with eating. I knew it, but I'd never talked about it, or you know, my first Thanksgiving was spent with 27. At once in OA, was spent with 27 other OA members. And I so love, you know, there's such opportunity here for us in every crisis like COVID and everything else that's going on. And that is, it's opened up worldwide now. Early on, I did a 3-day in COVID. I was on a 3-day Zoom that originated in another country. I love hearing, you know, I mean, we're all the same, you know, different accents, different, you know, first language, but we're all the same. We have a common peril and a common solution, you know, and this is a program and a recovery that takes place in the heart. And so I'm just ever so grateful, and thanks for everybody's share and making this meeting possible. I pass.
And thank you, Reggie O, for taking us out this morning. And thank you everyone who shared this morning. Of course, a special thanks to Team Monday, Martha M., Terry S., Don B., KP, Brandy M., Mary B., and Don B., and Mo H. in the background. Thank you all so much, and especially all of you who shared this morning. Thank you. I really appreciate your service this morning. So we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So KP, would you please read A Vision for You?
This is KP from Malden, South Carolina, gratefully recovered for today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Freely give of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.